Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Bonnie, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Are things warming up in Florida?
Oh, it's beyond warming up. You can tease me now. It's viciously hot. So go ahead. Bring it on. It's hot. It's hot. It's miserable hot already.
Wow. And it's only April,
yeah.
Right?
I know. The AC is blasting. Trust me.
Well, it's in the late 40s here today, so you can be jealous of me for a change.
I'm envious. Okay, you got me back.
We are going to have an 80 day tomorrow, but it's only one day this week, so I'm not going to stress it. Then I'll go back into my favorite 60s. That's the way I like it.
Me
nice
too. We need
cool.
to find a place. Uh-huh. I agree. Oh, wow. I'm envious. But enjoy it. You deserve it. Enjoy it.
That's what I say. So
absolutely.
We also want to wish a very happy birthday to you, Misty. It was your birthday this week. And
thank
also to
you.
Our good friend Maggie, who calls our show. Maggie, if you're listening, we want to wish you happy birthday also, because birthdays to me are always a day of renewal and a time of renewal for people to start fresh another year, you know, a year to look back and reflect about growth and things that you've, you know, learned over the past year, setting new goals for the future year. So
absolutely.
To me, you know, birthdays are very special. I know that my mother always made them very special for us.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how old we were, you know, we always make birthdays a big deal in my family.
Absolutely. I do, too. I believe in that, too.
And tonight we're going to be very excited because we have a wonderful guest coming on to rejoin us again. We're going to be having Carol from the Straight Spouse Network. And whenever Carol does have a chance to join us, she's always a wonderful guest because she brings us information from the Straight Spouse Network, which is an organization that meets face-to-face with people throughout not only this country but throughout the world. And when women are really isolated and alone, you know, it's wonderful to have people that they can meet, and the Straight Spouse Network does provide that type of networking for women. So Carol will be coming on shortly and talking to us a little bit about the Straight Spouse Network tonight, plus her own personal experiences. Carol does have some strong opinions. And, you know, I've known her for many years. She's been a wonderful friend, excuse me, and totally an inspiration to me. She has tremendous energy as far as reaching out and helping people. And some people just kind of make this their life mission, you know, even when they're long past the point of needing support, of giving support. And that's a wonderful thing, I think, that we find in our network, Misty, that we have some women who are long past the point where, you know, they need to get support, but they're just willing to be there to give support, which I think is really part of the healing process.
That you just took the words out of my mouth. That's part of the healing cycle, as I call it. You know, once you get the help you need, you take from it what you need and what works, and because everything doesn't work. So you figure out what works for you, and then to complete that cycle is to give back. I'm a firm believer in that. Give back. It's like payback. Pay it forward. So pay it forward. And you can bet whatever helped you is going to help someone else. Someone else can learn from that and help heal from that. And it's just a healing. That's why I say when I always work with a, you know, coach the straight wives, it's just so good for me because I get to give them back the information, you know, to help them and to see them move along faster. You know, like I always say, you cannot force healing, but you can hinder it by getting stuck.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's wonderful when people are in a position. I mean, some people just move on. Some women move on with their lives, and you and I kind of feel like we're having a graduation party for them. You
know,
we're so happy to see that. And it's so funny because every month I get back notes when I send out my monthly newsletter to people, and, you know, I have like 7,000 people on the mailing list. So I always get back, I would say, close to anywhere from 8 to 12 letters each month asking me to please be removed from the mailing list because they've either healed, you know, all thanking me for the help that, you know, they received during the time of crisis, but they've moved on, they're happy, and I always ask them, can you at least write a one more letter, you know, for other readers to encourage them on how your life has moved on, and so many times they graciously do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to me, it's, you know, if people heal, that's the greatest gift that you and I could ask for. You know, that's what we're looking for people to be able to come to vent, to go through their anger, to go through their tears, but then also to move on in life. You know, you don't want to get stuck at any particular stage. You know, the goal is to get better and go through the cycles of gay husband recovery. Recently, because I'm co-authoring a book with my gay male peer counselor, Doug, that will be out sometime in June, which is a really unbelievable book that I'll be talking about more in the next few weeks to come, called Over the Cliff. And it's about gay men who are married to straight women. And it's candid interviews with about 14 men about their experiences of being married. And it's really there to be a guidebook for men who are looking to come out to their wives and why they should do it and some of the best ways that they should do it, you know, based on my experience and Doug's experience. And one of the things Doug wanted me to include in there was, you know, an article I had written a number of years ago about the different stages of grieving that I adapted through Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, that I know that you advocate, you know, those different cycles.
Absolutely.
And I kind of, you know, updated a little bit, tweaked it. It's been 10 years since I wrote it. But, you know, one of the things that I did put in there was that one of the best ways of the final stages of grieving is to do outreach.
Mm-hmm.
And that reaching out after you are healed, you know, is another way to really get past that period. But I think we have Carol on the other line, so let's see if she's there. Hold on 1 second. And if people do have a question, they'd like to call in and ask Carol any questions, you can reach Carol at, you know, at our switchboard at area code 646-716-4893. That's 646-716-4893. So we'll see if we can get Carol on with us. Carol?
I'm here.
Hi, Carol. It's me and Misty.
Hi, Misty.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hello. So good to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm the same here. I'm just wonderful. Thanks. And you?
Good. We were just talking about you and the Straight Spouse Network before you came on, and how important it is to be able to, you know, have support for people. I explained that the Straight Spouse Network is not only in this country but all over the world, where people have an opportunity to get together with other people face-to-face and give and get support. So maybe, Carol, you could talk to us a little bit first about you and how you got involved with the Straight Spouse Network.
Okay. Back in 1997, I discovered that my now ex-husband was a pathological liar, leading a double life, and gay. We caught him on the Internet making dates on the AOL gay chat line. And at first, he was January, and he talked his way out of it, you know, and bought himself a few months. And then in April, I saw something on the computer that, you know, kind of changed my life, and the bulb finally went off. And I said, wait a minute, you know, he's gay, and that kind of accounts for what our life's been like all these years. And the problems we've had were certainly not problems because of me, that I could never be the man of his dreams, and that he was out doing things he shouldn't have been doing as a supposedly heterosexual married man with children. And, you know, that was the first week of April of 1997.
And after how many years of marriage?
27 years and 3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an otherwise intelligent woman, but if they don't want you to know, you're just not going to know. And many people the men do not come out to them, although once in a while they do. I would say maybe, I don't know, 10% or something of the men actually do say, I can't do this anymore, and they come out to their wives. But that's a very, very small percentage. And of the other people who are discovered, it's by discovery,
mm-hmm.
not by being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And generally these days it's on the computer. As well as the computer helps them find each other, it also occasionally helps us find them and find out what's really going on with them and your
Absolutely.
Lives.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the computer has been, you know, the best of all worlds for each person, because the reality is that even though women say, well, before the computers, men didn't have a way to find stuff, you know, let's be for real, they found it anyway.
Right.
But at least this way we can find them finding it. So I think it makes it easier for us in our discovery.
Right, and then if we go into denial along the way, as I did, then you say, oh, yes, but what about his profile on the Internet, and what about this and what about that, and then we can get ourselves back to reality of, oh, yes, that's right, you know. I'm not crazy. They're gay.
Carol, when you got married, what did you know from gay?
Nothing. Everybody had gay friends, and, gay mm-hmm. people stayed with gay people, and straight people stayed with straight people, and it never in a million years would have occurred to me. Just not the paradigm of my life that gay people would marry straight people. It just made no sense at all. Why were they? They find us repulsive as far as mm-hmm. our bodies. They were nice people, but, as far as exchange of body fluids and, having sex and all that kind of stuff, they really don't like our bodies at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it never really occurred to me that, they were nice people. They were good to have for friends. They liked to cook. They liked to decorate. That's being general, but, many of them do. Very right-brained people. And in general, why would they have anything to do with us if the whole point wasn't to, forsake all others till death do we part and have a family and, that kind of stuff, monogamy and family values and all that stuff.
Now, did your husband actually admit it to you even after
never,
you caught him?
Never, never. We were divorced in 1999, actually 6/9/99, June 9th. You can't write this stuff. And
mm-hmm.
He's still not out. It's how many years later now, and he's still not out
mm-hmm.
to his family. I'm sure he's out to his friends, as
mm-hmm.
he always was. He was just leading a double life when he was in the house and in the family situation. He was your typical trying to make it husband, with the kids and the carpools and whatever. And the minute he left the house, he was just, having a gay old time.
Now, how about with your children? He hasn't been honest at all?
Nope.
But they're all adults now.
They're all adults now. They range from 38 down to 30. And that's the problem that they have with him, not the fact that he's gay. We are, the most liberal people on the face of the earth, probably. We don't care if you're gay or straight or purple or green. But don't lie to me. And that's
uh-huh.
the thing is that he can, he's a pathological liar. He, at this point, probably can't even help it. But, he lies about everything, and he always did, and he always will. I don't
uh-huh.
see that that's something that will change, because he's been successful with it for most of his life, and he's now in his early 70s.
So, Carol, at what point did you join the Straight Spouse Network?
It took me about a year to find them. In fact, whole year I thought I was the only one stupid enough to ever have this have happened to. I just couldn't
mm-hmm.
believe that I had fallen for this and that I was betrayed. And I was just a raving lunatic. I was so angry. And then it was the high school guidance counselor at my daughter's high school. My youngest was 16 at the time. And we were all very out about this thing. We're not one of these people who go into their closet like many people do. I was out there telling everybody, hoping that someone would say, oh, it happened to my aunt, it happened to my sister, there are other people like you out there, and nobody ever said that. And finally,
mm-hmm.
one day she came home from high school and said that the guidance counselor had mentioned that he had heard of this organization and that her mom might be interested in finding out about it. And so I did, and sure enough, I found out there were hundreds of thousands of people like me worldwide who
mm-hmm.
were in the same situation, and that, it's something you do live through, but you've got to process it, and you've got to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that you're not the only one it's ever happened to kind of gives you something of a roadmap,
mm-hmm.
which was wonderful. So it took me a whole year until that happened, and since then, of course, I've been a very active member of the organization and run my own face-to-face support group. And
mm-hmm.
We also have online 24/7. We have a website, straightspouse.org, and if anybody wants to go to the website, they'll get all kinds of information, including the ability to find a local group near them, and also 24/7 online listservs, they're called, and you talk to people all over the world 24/7.
Mm-hmm. So in your meetings that you have, you're in the Westchester area, correct?
I'm in White Plains, New York, my meeting.
Oh, White Plains, New York, okay. Is that
which is Westchester. It's a big city in Westchester.
Okay. But there's also meetings in New York City?
There's one in Manhattan, there's one in Mahwah, and we are the three main groups in the New York metro area. But we have
mm-hmm.
groups really all over the country, and there are, I think, a couple of groups internationally as well. But certainly we have contacts on every continent, and, people you can talk to, if not in person, at least, by phone or by Internet.
Right. And, I always say that I feel that anytime you can get support, it's a wonderful thing. Because this situation, makes you feel so isolated and alone.
Right.
And through the years, you've met so many women. It's over 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you've had the opportunity to meet, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of women through the years.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, you're active and you go all over. So do you find any kind of particular common bond that women going through this have?
Well, among the things when we sit around the table, and we're a co-ed group. I know yours are mainly women, but ours are co-ed. And we just, basically, we are very trusting people. We are very truthful people. So we don't assume the people that we're with are anything but that. So we're a little bit naive in that way, that not to think that we might be being deceived by other people, even though we are very truthful and honest and outright and have integrity. We do, you know, that's one of the things we do have in common. And another thing is we're relatively naivete. I mean, most of us were not really experienced sexually a lot before we got married, and so we didn't know what good sex was. And we just said, oh, well, if this is sex, this is it, and, you know, you take it for what it is, and it's overrated, frankly, in many of our cases. You know, gee, that's really a myth that I bought into, that this was going to be something really great and special. This is pretty who cares, you know, pretty blah. So that's, I guess, another thing that we have in common. But mainly the trust issue, that we just, you know, wouldn't think of not trusting the person that we had vowed to spend the rest of our life with, you know, forsaking all others till death do we part. It just never occurred to us that the people we were married to were unfaithful, and especially in this way where they, many of them knew before they got married that they had, you know, same-sex attractions.
Mm-hmm. You think they misunderstood what they were feeling, though?
I think some of them might have thought that getting married would cure them if they, you know, if it were something that they wanted to be cured of. I don't know too many people who would want to be gay purposely. But a lot of people we hear, gee, you know, I thought it would cure me. I thought I would get over it. You know, I really loved you as much as I could love a woman. You know, we hear that kind of thing a lot.
Yes. You know, I always really do believe that, you know, gay men do marry, in almost all cases, their wives. They really do love them. And they are hoping that if they love them enough, they'll be able to lose those nagging attractions that, you know, keep surfacing to the top. And especially, you know, I think that gay men grow up with the same ideas that we grow up with, that gay people are attracted to gay people, that they have sex with gay people, and those gay men who are able to perform heterosexual sex are really confused because they feel that, you know, they must not be gay because they're able to fall in love with a woman, have sex with a woman, have children with a woman. How could they be gay? I mean, I can see where that would be really confusing for them.
Yeah, but then when you talk to them afterwards, and this is not speaking of my husband, because, of course, we don't talk of such things.
Right.
But they say that the only way they could have sex with the women was by pretending they were a man. They have to compartmentalize and pretend.
I think that happens more so later on. I think at the beginning they're able to.
I don't know.
When you're in your early 20s, you know, I think that at that point, like, almost anything feels good.
You could have sex with a tree, I think, in your early... A guy can have sex with a tree.
Exactly.
Early,
you know, exactly. I mean, you know, believe me, and I know guys who have worse sex than with trees. But the thing is, sadly, sad to say. But, you know, the point is that I think that they really, truly are confused. You know, to me, you know, I really do understand their plight, and I do sympathize with it, but I feel that once you come to terms with what it is, you know, my issue is, why are you going out there acting on it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and coming home as if nothing's going on.
Yeah. So you're endangering
the spouse. You have to act on it.
And you're endangering the health of your spouse that way.
Yeah.
Because if you're not being really, really careful, you could bring AIDS or other terrible things home.
Have you found that with members of your group?
Not my personal group, but certainly of the people I've met. I've met people who have been affected by, you know, sexually transmitted diseases that they didn't get because they were unfaithful.
Right.
Although sometimes when they get
women.
Them, the guy will say, oh, you must have picked it up. You must be the unfaithful one. I have certainly heard women whose husbands have said that.
Absolutely.
Which, of course, is not true. But then there are some percentage of people who just want to have, they're just so selfish that they don't care anything about the collateral damage, and they just want to get married and have a cover and a breeder. And if the woman also has money, a meal ticket. And there certainly are those out there. Who are just there for their own selfish end, because they don't care who they hurt. They, you know, they're just taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that especially on the way out, because on the way out they want to take it all with them. Even if they never earned any of it, their attitude is, I'm going forward with my life, and I want to get everything I can, and I really don't care about what I'm leaving behind and how little support or whatever else I'm leaving behind. And the divorce is when the whole problem happens of whether there's going to be a relationship after the divorce or not. And it's the same with heterosexual couples. If one person wants to take it all with them and doesn't care about the collateral damage and what they're leaving behind, then you can't expect them to have a good relationship for the rest of their life with their ex-spouse and their children.
Right. Let me ask you this. this. From your experiences with the women that you've worked with,
mm-hmm.
Do you find that their husbands want to be involved with the children after they leave?
To a less and less degree every year. At the beginning, during the divorce, the big fight is custody, and I want the kids now, and I want the kids for holidays, and I want the kids blah. And as soon as they get into their really, you know, true gay lifestyle, they really, most of them don't give a damn. They see
mm-hmm.
the kids less and less, and they really aren't into parenting that much. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, they just move on with their own life at kind of an accelerating pace. But during the divorce, that's all they talk about is how, you know, they want to have access to the kids and so on and so on. And then I see is that it diminishes over time.
Yeah, because I don't, you know, usually see that women would try to keep their children from their fathers.
No.
I see the fathers not wanting to, you know, participate as much or give emotional support as much as I would like to see it.
Yeah. Although
you know,
the women would like
support.
To have not overnight visits when there's not a separate bedroom. You know, you don't have a thing like poor Dina McGreevy with her daughter where the little girl was sleeping between the two gay men with a 6 foot tall painting above the bed, anatomically correct of a naked man. I mean, that was terrible.
Yeah,
so you do want to protect your children from that.
See, one of the issues that I try to work with gay men, you know, and I think that maybe you'll agree with this, and I certainly know Misty probably feels the same way. You know, I say these guys have a lifetime to sit and deal with their issue.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them deal with it, you know, from the time they're little children. Some of them deal from the time of their teens. But they're all dealing with it for years and years and years. So they have time to get to know themselves, understand what they're going through. But then when we find out, it's like they expect us to absorb this and move on with it within 10 minutes or a month or a week.
Right.
And they don't understand why it's taking us so long to, you know, process this.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to
explain that. That's absolutely correct.
It's taken you forever, and, you know, first of all, you know, they have to have an understanding that it takes time for us to, first of all, get past the whole fact that our life has been, you know, one big lie, you know, that we've lived under this veil of deception, that the things that we were being blamed for in our marriages, you know, had nothing to do with us, it had to do with the fact that our husbands were gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to deal with all those issues, then we have to deal with the issues with the children, and I think that, you know, the husbands a lot of times, you know, want the children involved right away with their new gay lifestyle. And I think that really does cause a lot of damage to children. They have to absorb this also. And a lot of them really aren't that comfortable, you know, with the whole situation.
Absolutely.
So to me, it's not about being, you know, with your gay dad. It's about being with your dad and your dad spending quality time with you. And gay doesn't have to be the issue.
And
you know,
another problem is that they want to bring their boyfriend
that.
Along. They want to, you got to meet my boy. Of course, it's the boyfriend of the moment in some cases, not the permanent boyfriend. And so children are having to be exposed to a series of boyfriends of the moment.
Well, that's why I say I think that I would feel the same way about women bringing a bunch of men into their lives and having the children involved in every different new relationship they're with also.
Yeah. No,
so.
The children will say, I want to see you. I don't want to see your boyfriend. You're my father. He's not. And I want my relationship to be with you, and you know, I'm glad you're happy. If whatever, if you're happy, share the joy. I'm not interested in that. I just want a father-child relationship.
Right, and I think that you know a lot of men, you know, are looking out for, well, my children have to be involved in this relationship. Well, I think that takes time also, but a lot of men aren't willing to accept it. They think it's because the mother's egging on the kids. Oh, you don't want to be with them, or saying bad stuff. You know, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding there.
And very often the kids do eventually bond with the boyfriend, assuming there's one, you know, one permanent boyfriend. You know,
mm-hmm.
sooner or later they do, but it's not like first thing on their mind is, oh, goody, I want to meet your boyfriend and let's go have lunch.
Right. I think in a lot of ways, especially with, you know, young men, it's hard for guys to accept this about their dads, more so than women.
Mm-hmm. And they certainly don't want them bringing their boyfriends to the football games when the kids are on the field or whatever. They're really mainly embarrassed by the whole thing.
So, let me ask you this. How about with your children? Do they have a relationship with their father?
Well, my ex-husband, thank goodness for me, lives in Holland. He lives in The Hague. And he has a basically very sporadic email relationship with them. And once in a blue moon, they do see him, but he still doesn't tell the truth about anything. And so that's really the problem between them, not the fact that he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
But But every couple of years they do end up seeing him. When my older daughter, my second child, turned 30, she had a big birthday party and he was there. And my youngest one just turned 30, and sure enough, she had a party and he was there. But beyond that, they don't have any relationship. He doesn't go visit. Two of my kids were living in San Francisco, and we would get the word later. Oh, you know, I saw your dad out in San Francisco. He looked great. But he was in San Francisco and didn't even call his kids on many occasions. He was just out there with boyfriends and, you know, didn't want anything to do with it.
Never confronted him about, you know, his homosexuality?
Oh, sure. I don't know. I've never been with them when they've been with him alone. But he still claims that I'm crazy and that I broke up the family and that he's not gay and he swears under oath that he's not gay. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, at this point, we've seen his profile on the Internet. And at this point, you know, we found color photos of him naked and erect with some Asian man naked and erect. And his profile said, Mary, this is going back to, you know, long ago, the profile said on the gay chat line on AOL, married bisexual Asian men really turn me on. And then, you know, all of his statistics, whether he's circumcised, how long his penis is, whether he liked being on the top or the bottom. And this is what my then 16-year-old daughter pulled up because I didn't know how to do these things. And she discovered it, which is not the way to find, you know, it's just not good for a 16-year-old girl to learn all that stuff about her father. We didn't know what half of it meant, but we knew what some of it meant. And it was enough to be the kind of thing you wouldn't want your 16-year-old daughter finding out.
Now, do you find that many of the women who come through your network end up in better situations with their ex-husbands than yours?
I find most of these women end up in better situations after they've divorced their husbands.
Right.
Every day after that is better.
Divorce.
Once they get rid of them and you know, they're on with their own lives and with their own validity and their own integrity and just moving forward with wherever they left off, every day is better after that. Not so much with their relationship with the ex-husbands, although many of them do still have a relationship with them. But, you know, it's passé. It's definitely, you know, not the future, it's the past.
Now, have you seen many of your women move on to new relationships?
Absolutely. Many people do get married, remarried. Many, many people do. And especially, you know, within the organization, people meet each other. I mean, we're a co-ed organization, and we have history of that is similar. And so a lot of women do meet their future spouses either online or at gatherings or, you know, whatever. So there are, you know, quite a number of people who've coupled up afterwards. Many of them have gotten married and have blended families with children from both, you know, both marriages. And it seems to, I mean, I'm not in their marriages, I'm not in their situation, but they seem to work well for them, especially the younger women.
Yeah.
I'm in my mid-60s, so it's not going to happen for me, I don't think, but it's certainly happening with younger women.
Do you have a lot of younger people coming to your group?
Unfortunately, yes. We would love to put ourselves out of business. We would love to have every gay person marry each other and leave us out of it, but it doesn't look like that's happening.
Yes, and in fact, you know, I really marvel at the fact when people say, well, today it's so much more well-known. People know much more about this stuff than they knew when we were getting married many years ago. It's more open. You can read about it. You see it on television. And yet I find it happens, you know, so often anyway.
It's unbelievable that's still the case. One would think that by now, you know, people would say, hey, I'm gay, I'm not going to marry a woman, you know, a straight woman, and, you know, I'm going to live my valid life and do what's best for me in the long run. And, you know, you never know. I mean, 9/11 was a big deal. Midlife crises are a big deal. Death of a parent is a big deal for the gay people who are married to us. And they say, you know what, if I only am going to go around once, I'm not going to keep doing this. And I'm going to go do what makes me happy. And, you know, Some people do find that makes a difference.
Now, Carol, as you and I both know, and, you know, this is a sore spot with me, not with you, but in general, about people who decide they want to stay in these marriages, and you have a part of your group called Moms,
Mixed Orientation Marriages, yes.
Sounds very homey, you know. Oh, maybe that's the wrong word to use. It sounds very, what's the word I'm looking for, Misty?
Cozy,
yeah.
Okay.
It sounds cozy, you know, moms. And
it does work for some people.
Let's use the word domesticated. That sounds better than homey. Domesticated.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
You know,
it does
mom,
work for some people. A tiny, tiny percentage of the people that come through Straight Spouse Network, it does work for them. And it worked for them in a number of ways. One of them is a very, very long-term marriage that I know of where the woman is a lesbian, and they had just decided that they had history, they had children, they loved each other as much as whatever, and they have a monogamous celibate marriage. And at any point, the agreement is, at any point when either of them decides they've got to be with a woman sexually, that's the end of it, and they're going to come and be honest, and that will be it, and it'll be okay. And they've been together for many decades.
Uh-huh.
Then you have the ones who have more or less an open marriage where, you know, you can go out with who you want, I'll go out with who I want. And, you know, that wouldn't work for me. I don't think that's integrity and forsaking all others till death do we part kind of thing. But who am I to say it works for them and let it work for them?
Right. I mean, you know, there are people who have all different values in life, and I never try to judge anyone.
Right.
I mean, even in the straight world, there are people who have swingers and open marriages.
Right.
And threesomes and foursomes, you know. I don't get it, but, you know, once again, I'm not living it.
Right.
You know,
and a lot of it is financial. A lot of people can't afford to live separately, can't afford to get divorced. I mean, I actually have a lady in my group who's been divorced from her gay husband for a while, and they still live together because they can't afford to live separately.
Right, we have a number of women in that situation also. You know, they are divorced, but they're in the same household because they can't afford to move out. But at least emotionally, they're not, you know, still pretending to be the wife.
Yeah.
You know, they are divorced.
And also, divorce itself costs so much money. I mean, it's so easy to get married and so hard to get divorced in many, many states. And certainly in New York, it costs, you know, thousands if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending, to get divorced.
But the bottom line is that when a lot of people come to me, as you know, because I keep sending them to you, and they're looking for, you know, which I'm so happy I have you to send them to, and, you know, they're looking for me for some ray of hope that I just won't give them because I don't feel like I can mislead people that way. And I know that you certainly don't give anybody false hope either, but at least they're looking for people who, you know, believe that these marriages can work, and at least there's a source for them. At least they can get educated, and then, you know, usually they do come back to me in a few years and say, you were right, you know, they tried, they did everything, but it didn't work.
Well,
but,
ultimately it can only work under the conditions that I've just said. Either it's got to be celibate monogamous or it's got to be open, in which case it's not real. It's not a real marriage either way, in my opinion, but that's just me. But many people start out saying, oh, I can't imagine myself single again. Oh, I don't want to get divorced. After all, I said till death do we part, and so I'm going to go along with my half, even though the first time he was unfaithful, he broke the pledge. And then, you know, a couple of years down the road, they say, you know, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want a little more out of life. I'm entitled. I'm a person, too. And so, you know, the mixed orientation marriage thing might last for a while, but for most people it doesn't last forever. For some, it does.
I wonder how it got that name, mixed orientation marriage.
Well, that's what it is, because it's a marriage of people who, you know, one is heterosexual, one is homosexual. So it's a mixed orientation.
It's what I call a mismarriage.
Well, the original marriage was a mixed marriage. You could call it a mixed marriage all along, I guess. Sure.
No, mixed marriage, like mistake in a marriage.
I'm saying mixed as an M-I-S.
No,
mixed marriage.
No, I'm M-I-S.
Mixed
mistake
marriage.
In a marriage.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, well, that's true, too.
Yeah, I think that says it more like it is. To me, like mixed orientation makes it sound like it's, you know, Jewish, Christian, or
that's
black
probably,
and white.
But
know.
Orientation, I would think of more sexuality rather than a mixed religion marriage. I don't know, just...
Hmm. Yeah, I just think it pretties up something that, once again, really isn't very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's me.
But for who it works
right.
For, it works for, and who are we to say?
Yeah,
we
but
don't
I just don't like people under the impression that it really does work for most people, right? Because it really doesn't.
No, it works for a very small number, a very tiny percentage of the people. But it works for a larger percentage for some period of time until, you know, you shouldn't make a lot of decisions all at once. Because sometimes you don't make good decisions if you make too many at once.
Carol, how do you feel, you know, you certainly work with men, I don't, you know, straight men.
Yeah.
I said to your group because, you know, I'm really not an expert at that at all.
But, I always say you're good at what you do, but you don't do the women who want to stay married and you don't do the men married to lesbians.
Right. Now, I started out with the men, but I just felt, you know, like I really wasn't good at it because I really felt there were some differences between men and women. And even though certainly men go through, you know, a lot of pain with this, I don't feel it's necessarily on the same level, but I could be wrong. What do you think?
Well, it is different, and I find that the men tend to go out dating sooner than the women. I mean, I really haven't dated. I've got trust issues. And many of the women in my group do date. But practically all of the men have remarried, ultimately, that have gone through my group. The ones in my group now, you know, aren't, but they're dating. And that's something not all the women are doing. But, of course, the women get the children to take care of, where the men tend to not get the children to take care of.
Yeah, that's
but
what
I think
wanted
the
to
men
ask
are much
you.
More out there dating, and they've got, you know, they don't have, seem to have a severe trust issue as I have.
You know, I know that when I first started out many, many, many years ago with my newsletters and my very first one, and I was writing the differences between women going through this and men, you know, I made a statement that I felt men had it easier because usually they don't have the responsibility of raising the children. And I was, like, kind of taken to the plate on that one by several people, saying that's not true, that a lot of men who are straight husbands do have custody of the children.
Some absolutely do, because the women who are lesbians really just want to go off with their girlfriends, and the girlfriends don't necessarily want to, you know, take care of the other woman's children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one difference. Another thing is I think that the sexual self-esteem, I think the men don't seem to have it as badly as the women as far as their sexual self-esteem going down the tubes. I mean, we actually had a man in one of the groups that I've been in that said, look, I kept a lesbian happy for 15 years. How bad could I be? So we kind of got a kick out of that one. But whereas the rest of us have been, you know, sort of downtrodden by how unsexy we feel because our husbands weren't attracted to us.
Right.
I think we have different issues with that.
I think that it's easier for men to rebuild their sexual esteem than it is for women.
Yeah, I would say that sounds right.
Because
In general, there certainly are people who were dating right through the whole. As soon as they found out, they said, well, if you can do that, I can do it, and they've gone out dating and so on. We've certainly had, you know, a lot of people like that, but the vast majority, no.
I don't think that men in general, and this is nothing against straight men married to lesbians, I mean just men, period, don't have the same kind of emotional depth in general that women have. You know, they're not the same kind of caretakers and nurturers. I mean, that's not to say they're not good men. But I think that women in general just try to always keep fixing everything. And, you know, they personalize things much more than men do.
I think our body images aren't as good as the men's in general. We're constantly told we're too short, we're too fat, we're, you know, whatever, you know, our faults are. We tend to take responsibility for everything that's wrong and think that we made it wrong and we can fix it, which, of
exactly.
course, with like you with the magic wand, we didn't make them gay, we can't make them un-gay.
Although I have been trying to learn how to do that.
When you get the secret, you'll let us all know when you learn
really
how to make all these. And even the gay people would like to know your secret about how to become un-gay.
I don't know. A lot of these men tell their wives they made them gay.
Uh-huh. Well, they say that, but we all know better. A lot of the mother-in-laws say that. You know, you made my son gay. He wasn't gay when you got him, which, of course, is ridiculous.
Isn't that ridiculous?
But, you know, like lots of people say lots of ridiculous things in life.
But I think these mothers knew their sons were gay, but they were counting on us to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the fact that, you know, they always knew something was off. I know that my ex-mother-in-law certainly always knew.
Yeah.
And I said to her, well, why didn't you tell me? She says, well, didn't you know before you married him?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you never mentioned it to me before I married him. You know, and so...
How would we know?
Right. You know, so I think she was expecting that if he was marrying me, I must have been fixing him. And that when the marriage failed, you know, that I did something wrong, that I couldn't keep, you know, fixing her son. But, you know, I think a lot of times our women feel this sense of responsibility from the in-laws. And
well,
how about your in-laws, Carol? Did they break away from you and the
kids?
Well,
my in-laws weren't alive when I found out. The only in-law I had was a sister-in-law. And when I discovered what was going on, I called her and I said, did you ever think your brother might be gay? And she said, well, I never really thought that, but you were the only girl he ever kissed. Well, you know, hello, that's not really normal for a boy not to even kiss another girl. And, you know, it was pretty obvious to me he hadn't. But then, yeah, being a pathological liar, his excuse was he was saving himself for his wife. I said to my, so then you make up the rest of the story. Well, gee, I've heard of women saving themselves for their husbands, so I guess men must do it too. You know, we tend to make up the rest of the story. All they've got to do is lead us to a place where we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very, very inexperienced when I met. On our honeymoon, we had twin bags. I mean, go figure. Go figure.
Well, did you think that was abnormal?
I thought it was abnormal, but I figured, oh, well, he just, you know, the hotel didn't have, you know, bigger bags available, or he didn't know how to make the reservation properly, or whatever. You know, who knows? You know, could we continue to make excuses for them? It's almost like the alcoholics where the enablers are always making excuses for them. And women are good at that.
Do you think that we are good at that, Carol?
Yep, I think we are.
I think women need to hear that, too.
Yeah, I think we are very good at it, but not out of anything but stupidity. We just don't know any better. We think we can fix everything, and when everything, you know, it didn't fit in the paradigm of my life. I never thought he was gay until I actually figured it out in, as I say, first week of April of 97. I mean, I went through all those years of marriage just thinking that, you know, well, our marriage wasn't any worse than anybody else's. It wasn't good, but I looked around. Nobody looked like they had good marriages, you know, so it never occurred to me until then.
Now, did anybody else say anything to you like they suspected?
Later, yeah. Afterwards, I said, you know, I always thought there was something different about him or something a little off or whatever. Nobody said gay, but people said that there was something a little off about him. They could never put their finger on it, but that's only many years later. You know, at that time, everybody was surprised. Most of us looked like the great couple, you know, with the great kids and the great house and the great jobs. And, you know, boy, you know, a lot of people were surprised when we broke up.
Yeah,
and of course, the reason, you know. And then they say, oh, well, you must have known, but you were in denial. You know, baloney denial. I don't do denial, you know.
Exactly.
Once I figured out what was going on, I was out of there. But it took me certainly a long time to figure that out.
Did he have friends?
Yes. And we socialized a lot with gay people. But the answer to that was, well, it was the industry. He was in the gourmet food business. Well, what do you expect? It's the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys actually died of AIDS, and I went to the celebration to the memory of, and I suddenly looked around the room and realized I was the only woman in the room. I mean, it was bizarre, but this was still before I figured it out. Well, these were still friends of his from the business. Everything was the business. So, I mean, the clues were there. I just had no thought of that that's what they meant until later on putting them together.
But how about, you know, other than, I mean, like I said, did he have guys he went out to the movies with? Or?
No. No, all of his sexual activities with the men was during office hours. He would take a late lunch, and he'd go off to the you know, the bathhouses or wherever he'd go. But he was going to take his late lunch, and he'd call me before then. You know, get the car straightened out, and then you know, he'd go off to his late lunch, and half the time he would go to a bathhouse or to meet a man somewhere. And then he'd come back, you know, I understand, to his business with a big smile on his face. But, you know, but it was all during office hours. He was home on
time. Did you have
many
couple friends together?
We had a few, and I've always suspected that the men in those things were more than just, you know, casual friends. A friend of mine met her husband in an elevator at the Concorde, and the friend was with my ex-husband. At the time, this is going back, you know, way many, many years, probably in the 50s or 60s. And now I know that this friend and his wife sleep in separate bedrooms and have for many, many years, have since the first, you know, first daughter left the house. They've been in separate bedrooms. And I still socialize with the couple. But, you know, certainly in the back of my mind is what I know, that this guy is probably gay. But you know what? It's not my business. And they stay together how bad their sex life is, there is none. And it works for them. And nobody wants that. And she knows my suspicions, the wife, and it doesn't matter to her. It just really doesn't matter to her. They have a stable marriage. They don't love each other, but they're together. They've been together for 40 years. And, you know, so she got the one she married, and then I ended up marrying the other one from the elevator. She got first choice. The birds of a feather flock together. You don't find gay men hanging out with straight men a lot, because they just don't. And straight men don't hang out with gay men a lot. So if you find out that your husband has got a lot of gay friends, it's not the business.
Well, that's one of my signs.
Yeah, they just don't socialize. They're not comfortable.
That's what I say. I say it's one thing if you've known somebody since they're a kid.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, if your husband's showing up with gay friends, then you have to wonder why, because straight men do not hang out with gay men.
And really, straight men don't have best friends in the way of male friends. I mean, like, women always have a best friend or a bunch of best friends they confide in and they do things with and so on. Men aren't like that, in my experience. And if a man has a best friend, there's something else going on.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of straight men who have good buddies they grow up with. You know, I've seen a lot
of that.
Not,
but not of the moment. Not best friend of the moment.
No. No, I meant long-term people. You're meaning, like, all of a sudden they're showing up with best friends.
Yeah, no, I don't think that happens.
No, I agree with you. I think that, you know, men are just socialized with men and they grow up. They have their friends from where they grew up. But if they start gathering all these new friends, you really have to start, you know, wondering how and why.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Are there any other signs that you've learned about through the years that you could share with people?
Well, certainly a man who likes to cook and decorate is suspect. Certainly a man with all the right brain skills, or, you know, who wants to go buy your clothes for you, or, you know, tell you what to wear and how to wear and so on, I think that would be suspect.
Uh-huh.
I mean, certainly mine, not that mine was into my clothes, but mine was certainly into decorating and cooking, and I still don't cook. I mean, why should I? But, you know, when we were getting married, another couple of friends of his had gotten married, and they were fighting over the kitchen. We got married, and I said, you want the kitchen? Your kitchen. You know, do whatever you want with it.
Uh-huh.
So we haven't kept in touch with the other couple, so I don't know if that's a gay, a mixed orientation marriage or not. But certainly I wasn't going to fight with him over the kitchen. My mother worked full-time and never learned to cook, and so neither did I.
So what other signs? Do you think sex is a big factor there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Very, very little. This is my daughter trying to get in on my phone line. Hold on just a second.
Sure, go right ahead. I'm waiting for Carol. Misty, how are you making out?
I'm doing fine. I was almost laughing just a few moments ago because so many times she has described my ex-husband, so you probably heard me giggle.
Sorry about that.
Misty was saying you kept describing her ex-husband.
And I was laughing because, you know, the decorating, the cooking, I mean, they just do everything the best. So I would come home in the evening and there would be a new room decorated and painted. And I'd say, wow, this is so bizarre. But anyway, yeah, I know what you mean about that.
But I think that would be something that I think would be suspect.
And actually, not having any sex. I mean, most heterosexual men are interested in having sex with women. And if suddenly, you know, if it tapers off, okay, you got married and you had some sex in the beginning, and then it tapers off, and now you're really not having sex even once a year. I would say that that's kind of a clue.
I think that's a very big clue.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you have to kind of gauge yourself by looking around and seeing what your friends are doing. You know, that people who are in their 30s and 40s, you know, having sex once or twice a week is the norm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost,
and if there's
16,
every excuse not to, you know, I'm tired, or, you know, with blood pressure medicine or whatever, you know, they're probably having sex somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, so many women who say, well, their husbands have erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, right.
Yes, they find Viagra, Cialis in their, you know, cases and stuff, and they're certainly not using it for their wives.
And condoms. I mean, that was one of the things. My husband had a big bag of condoms here. Well, you know, I had my tubes plugged in 1983, so there's no reason for him to need a big bag of condoms because I wasn't getting pregnant again after 1983.
So that should have been a big sign, right?
That should have been a clue, yeah. But I didn't notice the bag of condoms until afterwards, until I was cleaning up.
Yeah, but even if you would have noticed the condoms, wouldn't you have thought maybe it's another woman?
I might have thought, well, I might have. At one point I did confront him, and I said, look, you know, are you having an affair? And he said, you're the only woman in my life. I mean, you know, the half-truth is a whole lie. But that was the truth. I mean, that was a half-truth. I was the only woman in his life.
Right, but I mean, even going back, you know, like I say, you and I knew virtually wouldn't understand this whole homosexual thing, you know, if we were married to a man. So, I mean, my first suspicion was that my ex-husband was having, you know, an affair with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would I suspect it's with another guy?
Yeah, no, well, I just suspected that he was, you know, having an affair with a woman just that one time when it crossed my mind about, you know, maybe that's why we're not having sex or whatever. And he allayed that fear with another lie. But that's the way he was, you know.
So at any point, did you have a good marriage?
Not really. Not really. Nope.
I kept thinking
it was going to get better. Before the wedding, I kept thinking, well, the sex would get better after the wedding. After all, you know, he's nervous and whatever. I mean, we had sex before we got married, but it wasn't really very much fun. And, you know, it'll be better because he'll be more relaxed after the marriage. The problem right now is that he's so illicit, and, you know, that wasn't good. So then after the marriage, when it didn't get better, I figured, well, maybe it'll get better after we have the, you know, kids, whatever. And, of course, it didn't get better then. If anything, it got worse, because then we have to worry about the kids coming in on us. And then I thought, well, gee, maybe after the kids are gone, it'll get better. And then I realized somewhere along the way that when my last kid went off to college, that I had no more interest in being married to him anyway, not even knowing that he was gay. We just didn't have a marriage. We had nothing. We were companionable at best. You know, we would ski together, we'd go on vacation together, whatever, but there was never any emotional tie. He was very robotic. He just did what he had to do to maintain the illusion of who he wanted people to think he was, and that was just what it was.
Carol, how about women who come to your group who really have wonderful marriages, because I'm sure they come to your group too? Do you find they have a harder time dealing with this?
I don't know about wonderful marriages, but a lot of people really do love this. I never loved him, he never loved me, so I didn't have that problem. But a lot of people who come to my group really did love, or think they loved their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought their husbands loved them. Well, now they find out the husbands didn't really love them, but they loved them as much as they could ever love a woman. And, you know, and apparently that's not really very much or not even enough. But it's hard for the women who still see the same man that they loved and don't see that it was a different person that they thought they loved. That it really, you know, if you'd known this before, you wouldn't have loved him as much. If you'd known that he was, you know, homosexual and really wanted to sleep with men, you probably wouldn't have loved him as much. But a lot of people, you know, women in my group do think they love their husband a lot. And it's hard for them to break away from that because it's probably the only person they've ever loved in their life.
Well, I really do think they do love their husband.
But
yeah,
I mean,
a lot of our women do love their husbands.
Yeah.
You know, they don't realize
even when
there
they
is
find
a
out that
marriage.
They've been, you know, lied to and betrayed, and their health has been compromised, and all this other stuff. I don't get it, but it's a fact. Just because I don't get it doesn't make it less of a fact.
Well, I mean, I hear a lot, you know, from women that their husbands were their best friends.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't, and some of them even actually had good sex lives, and some of them had fulfilling sex lives. Not a lot, but some.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the ones who had better marriages, you know, where they were good friends, they were good companions, you know, they did everything together, they had fun, they laughed together, they raised their children together. You know, they did have a lot of love in the marriages. I just find it's harder for them to come to terms with this because of the fact of the betrayal, you know. So I was just wondering if you found that with the women that, you know, you're working with there too.
Well, we get the deer to the headlights a lot. I mean, the people who come to us, and I've had a few newbies lately, and they're the deer in the headlight. They don't know what hit them. They just don't understand this whole thing. How could this be? And, you know, it takes a while till you become accustomed to the fact that not only is it has been for your entire marriage. And, you know, then they say, well, you know, they haven't really acted on it. And then you find out later that they've been acting on it since before they met you and during your whole marriage. And then it's hard. Because everything is a lie. Everything's been a lie. And it's almost like being with the earth just shaking under your feet.
Let me ask you this. Does the Straight Spouse Network, per se, have any special rules, regulations, philosophies?
We have a couple things. First of all, we don't gay bash. We absolutely, you're not allowed to gay bash. If you want to complain about your particular gay spouse, that's okay. We agree with you. We let you vent and do as much as you want against your particular gay spouse. But we have no gay bashing of generally in gay, you know, all gay people are bad types. We don't do that at all. And it also turns out that many, many of the children of our families are gay because I personally believe that there is a genetic component. Not everybody agrees with me. But that's one of the things. And the other, we have two kind of, you know, issues that we're very, very firm about aside from that. And one is that gay people should be allowed to marry gay people. And the other one is that you can't pray away the gay. If you're gay, you're gay, and nobody made you gay, and nobody can make you ungay, and that's just the way it is. So those are the two real, you know, sort of soapbox issues that we have in addition to not gay bashing, is that, you know, you can't pray away the gay, and we're very, very, we're among the straight allies of the gay organizations. There's us, and there's PFLAG, and there's one of the ones in the school to prevent violence against gay people in the schools. And called GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. And we are the three organizations that support them in their causes whenever they're out picketing or whatever. You know, they can quote what we say, and they call us the straight allies. And they need us for validity, because otherwise people think it's just the gay people who want this to be the case, and it's not.
Oh, no. I'm very pro-gay.
Yeah.
You know, I had a lesbian daughter, and, you know, I'm the first to be there for all gay people.
Yeah,
I'm just not for gay marriages with straight women, but you know, I'm very pro-gay. I just feel very bad that gay people have to go through the torture they have to go through to feel they have to go and do something like get married. You know, that you know, every gay person should be accepted, and I'm very pro-gay marriage.
Yeah. But it's your civil rights issue. I mean, it's just a civil rights issue. This is America, and all people should be able to do whatever they have to do to make themselves happy.
Or miserable.
Or miserable.
Right. Why shouldn't they have the same right to get a divorce like the rest of us have,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like the rest of America has.
That's right. But it's also the tax. It's also the tax structure that's against them. It's the tax structure against them and the medical establishment. I mean, when you go into the hospital, you know, you've got all the problems of how do you, you know, I mean, there's 1,000 forms you could sign for each individual right that we have as heterosexual people that they don't have. But there's just, you know, it's just not fair to make them do all that when just by, you know, letting them marry each other, they get all the same rights.
Right. I'm very much in favor of that. I feel they should have the same rights.
So people find that surprising, that, gee, you know, we've been hurt by these people. We should want to, you know, take revenge and all that. But when you think past it, you know, if they were allowed to marry each other, they would not have married us in many cases. And those of us who have got gay children at the moment, I don't know that I do, but one never knows. But it's certainly very, very common that it's a genetic thing. And you also find out that in these homophobic families where the father, oh, I can't tell my father because he's so homophobic. Well, hello, he's homophobic because he's a closet gay himself.
Yeah.
That's
why I feel so bad because, you know, like if these guys could just be honest, you know, the children that are going through their own sexual issues, at least they could turn to them and get some support, you know, at least from their fathers, but...
And all
you
the politicians who vote against gay issues, even though they're gay, it turns out. I mean, that's just, you know, terrible.
It is terrible. And that, you know, I really believe until gay people have equality in this country that they'll continue to marry straight people.
Unfortunately.
Because they don't want to be gay and they don't want to be part of the persecuted minority.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand that. You know, I know what it's like to be, you know, I'm part of a minority and certainly face persecution. And a lot of people have run from it to try to be something that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I understand that. Nobody wants to be part of a persecuted minority.
Right.
If they don't have to be. But, you know, like I say, homosexuality is no more of a choice than, you know, being tall.
The color
or being
of your eyes.
British. Exactly. But I think that's something they have to learn. You can't run away from what it is. But those are complex issues that, I guess, you know, are way beyond us. We can't change what is. We just have to deal with what we can deal with.
I'd be supportive as best we can. I mean, I go to a lot of the LGBT meetings in Westchester County.
Mm-hmm.
I table at their events, and you know, we try to maintain a dialogue. And hopefully, the people in those organizations who are married will hear about us and that we're not bad people and we're not, you know, homophobic, and they'll let their spouses know that we exist. And that would be, you know, that's one of my hopes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Carol, are there any final words you'd like to leave our listeners with? Because you certainly did a beautiful job in letting them know how you feel about the Straight Spouse Network, you know, all these services that they offer. Can you give the website again?
Yeah, it is straightspouse.org, StraightSpouse.org. If you want to contact me, I'm Carol at StraightSpouse.org. You can contact me directly. This is something that you're going to survive. I mean, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Any of you who are just recently found out that you're in our situation, just know that there's a lot of us out there, and that we've survived, even though it seems like the end of the world, and you know the earth just, you know, cracked up under your feet, and nothing is stable, and for much of your life, for whatever years you've been married, has not been really what you thought it was. But you can move on. You can have a good life afterwards. And Bonnie and I are both, you know, indications, and many, many of the people that we know are both, you know, living proof that that's the case, that you can go on and have a wonderful life. And, you know, and in some cases, you can still remain friendly, you know, depending on what happens after disclosure or discovery.
Uh-huh.
You can have a good relationship with your ex-husband. It just all depends on you know, how he treats everybody on the way out.
Uh-huh. So, Carol, I just want to mention also that Straight Spouse Network has people in all, not only in this country, but all parts of the world.
All over.
You know, because I have support groups in, you know,
England, Israel, Japan,
Australia, England, all over. And, you know,
New Zealand, we have people.
Yeah, so no matter where you're listening to this show from, that, you know, there's live support all over the world. You know, if you didn't get Carol's information, you can always write to me at bonk@AOL.com, and I'll be certainly happy to forward your information to Carol, and she'll be happy to respond to you. So, Carol, we want to thank you so much for giving up your time to come and talk to our listeners.
Anytime, it's always a pleasure.
Yes, and I'm hoping that when we have our get-together in September here in Philadelphia, maybe you can come join us.
anything possible, just send me the date and I'll try and get down there. And then you come up to New York periodically.
Yes, and you're always the first I let know. Don't worry.
Okay, wonderful. Well,
all
thanks
right,
again for
you,
doing
Carol.
What you do, because I think you do a wonderful job at what you do. And thanks
thank
for passing
so
on the people that you don't, you know, have that you don't deal with.
Ability to help.
Yeah, okay. Good. Better put than I did.
Yeah, I've done me nice. All right, but I love you, and thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, take
thanks
care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, Missy. Bye-bye, Bonnie.
Bye-bye. Well, that was so nice to have Carol join us.
It is. It is nice to hear her, and I think it's really important for especially the new ones and even the ones that are just a bit seasoned into the process of finding out, because, you know, she really makes the situation a little black and white, which I think we need that sometimes, especially in the beginning. You know, it's not easy, but you can make it through. You know, you can.
It's true. And all of us come from very different situations. And it's sad that, you know, Carol had such a terrible marriage for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do know women who had horrible marriages, but we also know women who had a lot of good marriages also.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the bottom line, it doesn't seem to really matter, because at the end it's always going to be over anyway. But, you know,
exactly.
It's all, like Carol said, how a man leaves a marriage. And many times women are able to build good, solid relationships with their ex-husbands, you know, and that's so important when you have children that you certainly want, especially younger children, you want to be able to co-parent them together and give them the best of everything.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if it can work
out. It's always wonderful when you get to see that happen. That was not able to happen in my own situation, but of course there was a lot of domestic violence and abuse involved, and I never encouraged that to a woman when you do have that history. Sometimes you just have to break all the ties that you can. However, there were no children involved, so it made it easier for me to break those ties. But, you know, it's most of the women that I work with, high percentage. In the beginning, it's rough. There's usually not a relationship. And I tell them, for both sides, you need that distance, time, and space to heal. You know,
you
heal for yourself.
You
definitely do. And then I think the relationship after divorce depends on how the relationship was before the divorce. You know, were they respectful to each other? Were they a good parent? Both of them, you know. So, and if you can answer yes to all those questions, if it was a pretty, you know, decent marriage, respectful marriage, minus, you know, one person being gay, which is huge. But if other things were okay. I think a lot of times in the end, after there's been healing, there can be healing, there can be a relationship. Of course, it's a different relationship, but it's good for the kids to know that their parents don't hate each other, you know, and or think that one parent's junk and the other parent's okay, because like you've always said, it's so important. If you bash a parent, a child knows they're half that parent, so that makes them at least half junk. So, you know,
that's true.
You
I mean, you know,
that.
And I say to women, you know, feel free to come and vet with us. You know,
absolutely.
The place not to vent is in front of your children. You know,
absolutely.
You're hurting, and I certainly understand that, but, you know, the children don't have to be your allies. You know, you have
exactly.
friends and family for that. And if you don't have friends and family, you come to us, we'll become your friends and your family.
Absolutely.
You know, we have wonderful women in our support chat room. And we're there twice a week so that you can come and voice whatever you feel. But, you know, that voice should be not given to little children as they're growing up, telling them how disgusting their fathers are, right?
And the children are not your support system. And I know you're vulnerable and you're in a sad, bad situation. But remember, your children are not your support system. You have to still be the parent. So, you know, seek your support through people that understand and that will let you vent. And of course you could be angry. You're going to be angry. Even if it was married to a straight husband and he goes and finds a new lover, a new female lover, you're going to be angry. It's okay. But do it in an appropriate way. Express in an appropriate way. And as I always say, don't let the children bear the pain. It's not their place to bear the pain. You know?
Right.
You put your pain on them. And the good news is a lot of the people I've worked with, they have come back together and made some sort of relationship, albeit it's not what they want, you know, started out thinking it may be, but, you know, they're civil to each other, and sometimes even enjoy holidays and grandchildren. So it's always wonderful when you hear those stories. It really is. It's always successful. And another thing that my hopes and dreams are, and I think we're seeing a little bit more of this, you know, a lot of times, you know, my background is marriage and family therapy that I actually obtained after my divorce, which I know some people think is very odd. But since I do a lot of divorce recovery, I think it's so important, and I'm seeing this happen a little more. I would love to see it happen even more. It's when you go through a divorce, it's just as important to have a therapist as it is if you want to completely repair your marriage. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if straight couples, you know, want to go to a therapist to repair their marriage, it's important. And equally important is people that are getting divorced. It's important to go through a therapist or a coach or someone that really understands the dynamics and that can help support and let you help vent without involving the children. I've seen that certain happen, and it just seems like it seems to be very successful. And that's a hope and dream of mine, that we see more of that happen, especially these gay, straight relationships, because they're so difficult. They're so difficult. And, you know, I feel like I have a lot of courage, but not through this. I wish I would have had more help, you know, years ago, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago. And I just didn't know where to look. So this is not something to go along by yourself, I believe.
Well, all I can say, Misty, is that there's no easy answers to these complex situations, right?
There's not. It's all unique. It's all unique.
Everything's unique, and yet everything is so similar, I mean, for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
exactly
the great part. You know, we've never met a woman yet, no matter how different or how unique her situation was, that we couldn't relate to. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. I've never met a woman I could not relate to or shared a lot of similarities. I think that's so bizarre, but it's true. Even
I know,
if we come
of us can understand what we're all going through, because no matter how different it is, it all feels the same.
Absolutely. It goes across races, it goes across cultures, it goes across financial status, it goes across everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're from, it doesn't matter. There's still going to be, even though each situation's unique, there's going to be many commonalities, so many that it can be quite bizarre.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen some really bizarre things, but once again, there's always that common bond and, you know, all that we all go through. So all we can do is just be here each week and try to let women know that they are connected and that we are here to, you know, help them, to give them support. And I get so many nice letters, Misty, from women who just thank us because they know that every week, even if they're not listening live to us, that at any point of the week they can tune in and hear our voices and feel supported and feel comforted. And that's kind of what keeps me and Misty going with this.
Absolutely.
You know, because
we know
how important it is if even one woman in the middle of New Zealand gets help from this, you know, broadcast. We're happy to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
And we do appreciate your feedback. And once again, you can write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, bonkaye@aol.com. And, of course, my website is gayhusbands.com. And you can go to Misty's website. Tell them about your website, Misty.
You can find my website. It's my name. It's MISTIHALL.com. And please stop by, leave a comment, and I'd be happy to get back with you. It's shocking to me. It always shocks me. I was just talking to a therapist last week, a friend of mine, and he's a male therapist, and we were talking, and he was shocked. He asked the statistics, and I told him that, you know, we estimate there's approximately 4 million gay straight marriages, partnerships in the United States alone, and he was shocked. It's always shocking when I hear that number, because I know there's a lot of women out there trying to go it alone. I know there's a lot of women think that they're the only one, and they're not. So, you know, because you feel like you're the only one.
Absolutely. Because, you know, most time when you talk to people, they're not going up to you and saying to you, well, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have a gay husband. How about you? I mean, you know, people just don't talk about it.
Yeah, you don't. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know,
I didn't talk to people that way. You know, hey, my best buddy, I think my husband is gay. You know, I certainly didn't say that back in the day when I was married, that's for sure.
I mean, we feel that sense of shame, you know, instead of, you know, we're the ones who go into the closets to hide because we're feeling that, you know, we don't want people to know this. we feel that in some way that it's our shame when it certainly isn't, right?
Absolutely. I carried the burden and shame and pain and lived in the closet. I sure did. Absolutely. I took on all that.
Right.
So not easy to get a great wife.
Exactly. But, you know, we're all out there, and there's millions like us, so all you have to do is find us, and we're going to be happy to link you into lots more. So, Misty, I hope you have a wonderful week.
And I hope you're
celebrating your birthday. Did you get any good presents?
Thank you. Oh, I got lots of great things. It turned out to be a really good birthday, even though I had to work really late. It turned out to be really good. Family, friends. It was nice. It was very nice. And it's always nice to reach another year. How can you beat that? How can you beat that?
I don't know, Misty. I think that's the most any of us could hope for is just to keep each year coming, right?
Absolutely. And may each year be bigger and better. That's all I can say.
Exactly.
And it gets real. It's out of the closet, right, Bonnie?
Out of the darkness, into the light.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And love to you, my dear Bonnie. And
love
good night.
To you too,
love
Misty.
Everyone else. Absolutely.
All right, we'll be here with you again next Sunday night on the Straight Wives Talk Show. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.